God bless you this morning. Dios les bendiga esta mañana. Amen. After the this morning, after worship and praying, I forgot to send the kids to the children's church, and I'm glad Pastor Klinger did this morning. Well, welcome to this 4th of July celebration service. And welcome to all those families, brothers, watching the service on Facebook and being connected online. It's a great time to celebrate. It's a great time to be together and worship our Lord. All of us, we know United States is a land of the opportunity, a land of the freedom. And that is a great, great blessing. And this morning I have to say a couple things. First things, I have to say hello, Pastor Joe and Ashley and the family. We're praying for you. We miss you. And I like to say a couple things. I want to say hi to the families who are watching our service in Mexico City. My wife is there in Mexico City. And I want to say here, happy birthday, feliz cumpleaños, mi amor, te extraño. You don't know what I said. I just say happy birthday, I love you, I miss you. Okay, and all the brothers are watching the service, and I want to share too this to say hi to some of my family members. I have 7 brothers and 1 sister. It's a great blessing. And I can prove that. I want to say the name of each one of them, okay? Because I want to say hi to all of them. I invite them to watch the service today. Some of them, one of them lives in Dallas, that area. Some other ones lives in the border between Mexico and United States. And the rest of them lives in Mexico City. And I will start. First, my sister, Sarai. Dios te bendiga. Then Samuel, Noel, Heyel, Jonas, Francisco, Pepe, y Benjamin. All those are from the Bible names. I cannot tell you their ages, but they're old. I'm the oldest, and I have 7 brothers and 1 sister. I'm the oldest and of my brothers. But it's a blessing to say hi to all of them. Y todos los hermanos mirando el servicio, Dios les bendiga. Es una bendición saber que están ahí. When you notice I start talking in different language, don't worry. Okay, trying to be connected in what I said and trying to attend most of the people who's watching the service in Mexico City, they don't understand English. Probably a few words like a good morning, window, door, things like that. And unfortunately, I'm not going to preach about doors or houses or things like that. And this morning, I want to share this with you. First, this is the best way to celebrate our independence. Probably wearing a tied with an American flag. I don't have it. I have a flag in my house. But I will invite you to be part of this celebration. And the best way to celebrate is to remind and recognize our freedom, where this is coming from, who were the people who played and fight to get our freedom in the United States. And I have a couple questions. And I want to give you my phone number. Because if you have the answer and texting me fast, I will invite you to having a dinner in the next event with the Hispanic ministry. Okay? My phone number is 765-278-7100. Because I know some of you are going to answer these questions. But if you can send it to me, you're going to be in that next dinner. I don't know when this is going to happen, but I will remind having you with us. The first question is going to appear here on the screen. And this, why does the American flag have 50 stars? Because represent 50 states in our country. Well, if you have the answer, send it to me, 765-278-7100. Okay, next question is one of those good ones. Okay, are you ready? Who wrote the Declaration of Independence? Abraham Lincoln? No. George Washington? No. Barack Obama? No. Thomas Jefferson. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And we can go in more, but I have one more question, and I think this is going to be great. This is going to help me to go in through the message, okay? What are the two rights of everyone in the United States? Two rights. All of them start with freedom. Freedom of speech. Freedom of? Okay. There's more, but yeah, you already mentioned two of them. Okay. And one of them, what I love is the freedom of worship, freedom of religion. And praise the Lord for that. And we pray for our nation to keep those experiences in the whole country. And we will pray and worship the Lord for those blessing things in our lives. Well, thank you for your answers. There's more questions, but you know, I don't want to take all this time to doing that. But it's good to remind those and using to celebrate our independence. And just giving a little bit more of information, because somebody told me, oh, you were so lucky. Pastor Joe asked you to preach on 4th of July. And I said, yeah, it's a blessing. It's part of our identity in the United States. Because I'm born in Mexico. I was a Mexican. I'm still Mexican, you know. Yeah, that. But in 2013, I get my... I was tested to be a citizen. And praise the Lord, I passed the test. That's what I'm still here. I was a legal resident for a few years until when we were doing the ministry here. We pray about that, and we went through the whole process to be a citizen. Just to give you a little bit of information, the test required 100. Thank you for the message. The test required you learn 100 questions. You have to learn that those are politics, civics, and history questions. Those are very interesting questions. A lot of good information. And as soon as you fill the papers, they give you an appointment, and you're going to meet an officer, immigration officer, and the instructions are, I'm going to ask you 10 questions of those 100. Just 10 questions. You can fail. You will fail if you want it, 4 of them. If you fail more of that, you're, you know, they give me another chance. But yeah, praise the Lord. That lady treat me with a grace and told me, I'm going to start the questions. If you answer the first 6 questions in the right way, you're passed. And if you ask me, what were the questions? I can't remember. But I passed the test. Whew, that was a great blessing. But, well, praise the Lord for this country and for the nature of this country. It's built it with people from different countries. And I'm one of them. And, well, reminding this good things from our the United States history brings me to and helps me to tell you this. As a Christians, we should bring some of those values as a Christians to our mind, to our daily life. And one of those values, what I want to talk this morning, is about transformation. And I want to go through a couple things before I get in the verses of the Bible, what I'm going to use. But the Bible talks about transformation. And as a little bit of information, the Greek, the original word, what the Bible speaks or talks about transformation is metamorphosis. I hope I say it right. Okay? If not, I want to tell you, I got my translator right here. Yeah, let me open it, just see if they want to correct me. Metamorphosis. To understand that, we probably, some of you can remember, the best example of this is the caterpillar. Experience that transformation in the process in a few days, few weeks, and then became a beautiful, what? Butterfly. Yeah, that's awesome. It's amazing. But I have to tell you this. I get some information about that process. I don't gonna step in each one of those points, but this is what I find out. Caterpillar has in his own nature the power of transformation. It's in it. Has to eat. When a caterpillar traveling has to eat, get all those resources to getting stronger until start the process to transform. And when those days are happening, the inside has the power, the quality, the organism, the necessary thing, because caterpillar possess the power to be transformed. What that means for us as a Christians, what that means for us, if the Bible talks and tells us about the transformation, this is one of the true realities in our lives. And we need to honor them, and we need to recognize them, and we need to live through those. Well, what this is telling us is, do we should change our behavior? Do we should follow new set of rules as a Christians? Do we change the Bible version? Do we change the style of worship? What we should do as a Christians? Well, I'm glad to tell you, each one of us, we have that power in Jesus Christ when we pray and accept Jesus our Savior. The Bible says in that moment when you declare Jesus as your Savior, in that moment you're experiencing newborn or borning again. Praise the Lord. And in that moment is when you get that power from God. And I want to read this verse of the Bible. I didn't have it there, in the sermon yet. But John chapter 1, verse 12 says, 12 and 13, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. In that moment, you and I starting the process of the transformation with the ingredient as the caterpillar, you and I receive the nature of God to being transformed in Jesus' image. That's the purpose. Amen? Well, I like to share this. I mentioned this morning. When I started my first year as a pastor in an old church, the church was older than me at that time. Can you imagine that? Yeah, a lot of troubles. But one of the issues was every Sunday we were the same people. And I was praying, Lord, what we can do? And God started talking to me and challenged me. And for a few weeks I was denying that thought. I'm a musician. And when the Lord calls me to the ministry, I was playing in a wedding. I was hiring for the band, and that was a good job with a lot of troubles, but it was a good job, good pay. I was there for a couple of years, but then God calls me from there, And when I was doing the ministry in the church, I was thinking, God, why he calls me from there to being a pastor with all these Christians? They don't want to move. They don't want to do anything. They love the church, but they want the church like that. Why you called me from there? And then one day, the Lord tells me, get your guitar. It was a Sunday morning. And the place where the church is, it's a small neighborhood, 22 streets, just one main street. And there's a market, pretty, pretty beautiful, crowded market. Everybody goes to that market in the mornings. They can find and buy all the food what they wanted. It's beautiful. Well, God tells me, took your guitar and go into the market. And I obey. I went there, and I bring a couple brothers from church, and they were asking me, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? What are you going to do? And then I fell in that moment, get on my guitar, and start singing. There is power, power, wonder-working power. And in Spanish, I didn't sing in English at that time. And the people start looking at me like, what is going on with this guy? And I keep praying, I keep singing, and then I start telling everybody, I'm here to share with you something. And I'm going to sing another song, and I sang another song. And I was shaking it. I was nervous, because I was thinking, what am I doing here? Why am I obeying God? I'm here, and the people are looking at me. And then I start calling attention, and then the group gets bigger. And I was surrounding for a lot of people. And I was thinking, what am I going to do here? I ended the second song, and I thought, I don't know, God, what you're going to do. But my only option at that moment in my heart was, how many of you need peace? How many of you need peace in your life? How many of you are struggling with something? I'm here to pray with you. And I was like, oh, man, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, the market has a tomatoes. Bunch of tomatoes. I was scared of that. But praise the Lord, nobody throw me anything. Instead, I start seeing hands, you know, behind the people, hands raising up. And I went there and started praying. And I was praying for my people in that town, that small area. And then some of the brothers after that Sunday told me, that was good. Yeah, that was good for you because you were behind me. Next week, you're going to do it. And next week, he didn't show up. But I tell this testimony because I find out each one of us we have the power to share our story of transformation. Could be as simple as a praying. Could be as simple as a song. When we sing in, this is my story, this is my song. That's the way how we can share our story. And I want to go in this message. The message, I want to take one of those stories when Jesus Christ was doing something powerful. And we call that a powerful transformation in the lives of a man. And I'd like to invite you in Mark chapter 5, verse 1. I want to read in those verses. And I wish I can say it. I will read in Spanish and you read in English. But I would try reading in English. That's fine? If you can follow me in that verse, and I will invite you to stand up with me. Probably some of you are going to think, oh, this is a different house Pastor Joe preached. Yeah, it's because I'm a Mexican. No, I want to share this with all my heart. And after reading the Bible, I'm going to pray. Because I believe each one of us, we born again in Jesus Christ, and we have that power of transformation. Amen? Mark chapter 5, verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs and met him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the iron of his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirit came out of went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran after and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told to the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Let's pray. But I'm going to pray in Spanish, please. Señor, mi Dios y Padre, esta tarde, estamos agradecidos por esta oportunidad. Gracias por este país. Gracias por esta libertad. Pero también, Señor, muchas gracias por esta experiencia de transformación que cada uno de nosotros podemos experimentar. Gracias por la vida nueva que tenemos en Cristo Jesús. Señor, no solamente queremos recordar los beneficios de estar en este país, sino queremos recordar, Señor, las grandes bendiciones que tenemos como creyentes, como cristianos. Y una de ellas es esto: somos transformados, y esta transformación es un recurso poderoso. Padre, yo te pido que nos ayudes, que tu Espíritu Santo toque nuestros corazones y nuestras vidas, y seamos, Señor, un instrumento de bendición para otros. Padre, te lo pido en el nombre de Jesús. Amén. You may be seated. Transformation, metamorphosis, the change from the inside. And like I said, the Bible said, we already have that experience when we're born again in Jesus Christ. And this story about this man, and let me tell you how I'm going to call this man, because it's kind of confusing, the name. Well, first, the Bible doesn't say it about his name. This man has no name in the Bible, but just talks about him, about the area where he was living. And I will warn you, I'm going to call this man El Gadareno, okay? Because in Spanish is the name of the area where he's coming from, Gadara. He was the Gadareno, okay? I will reveal something from my background. I'm from Mexico City. I was born in Mexico City. And the name for the people who born and grow in Mexico City, they call us Chilangos. Chilangos. What that means a little bit is a combination of couple words. One of them is chili, spicy things. Well, that don't make sense for me as a Chilango, but, you know, don't try to call me Chilango, okay? But I recognize I'm from there. But that meant I would call him the El Gadareno. That meant the Gadareno having a lot of problems. The Bible describes some of those situations. In the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they share the story, and they give us a lot of those details. But there's three things what I like to point at. The first thing what I like to mention is the important thing what is happening here. First is Jesus Christ show up. And his presence and his words can change everything. His presence confronts that man's condition, that possession. And if you notice in the story, I don't see any moment when that man could be in his own mind. Was always controlled and submitted by the possession. And Jesus Christ confronts that. And this is what I find out. And it's this passage tells us about Jesus Christ's power, whatever he is, whatever he goes. And what the story tells us is Jesus was not dealing with that situation, with that man, how you're doing, why you're living here, why this is situation, why you're not a better person, why you're not a better neighbor. Jesus didn't go through all those things. Jesus just confront and told the spirits, you better run away. And they were scared. They begged Jesus, please don't send us out of this area. And that is a problem. Don't send us out of this area. That's not the point what I'm gonna take it today. Jesus confronted them, and Jesus let them go to those pigs. That is one of the most beautiful things. And I have to declare this, Jesus always be on time. Jesus always be in the right place. Because Jesus knows the needs and the hearts. Well, the second thing what I can see right here is the condition of that man. The three Gospels talks about a bunch of situations what that man, the Gadareno, was experiencing. Definitely, some of the commentaries, they call this the maniac man. And maniac condition is a person who express wild behavior. And I will describe a couple of, not describe, just mention some of the things what he was experiencing. Some of the things what he was having it. When Jesus asked him, what's your name? He didn't know his name probably. Or probably he knew it. But it was under the possession. And the answer came from the Spirit. I'm a legion. Because we are too many. This man was out of his own will control. The answer didn't come from him. He was out of his mind, out of control. His residence, the Bible says, he was living in tombs. His, let me check my translator. ¿Cuál era su pasatiempo? His hobby was crying day and night, yelling things. Some of the Gospels mention the people around that him were scared to walk in the roads because he was dangerous. He was aggressive. And another detail what I can see is he was alone. And some people, they tried to help him. They thought probably the best thing what we can do for him is tithe him. and keep him in one place and try to limit his movements. But the Bible says he presents strong ability. He broke the chains. Nobody, they said, nobody, I'm sorry, I use that word in Spanish, but the Bible says nobody can tie him. Nobody wasn't strong enough to tie him. Some other situation, what he was having is suicidal expressions, suicidal acts. He was hurting by himself with stones. That was his description. El Gadareno was a maniac person. But remember, Jesus were there. And what happened after that? What happened after that? Jesus delivered him from the possessed. And what the Bible says, he was sitting at his feet. I forgot to mention something. He was naked before. But after Jesus delivered him, he was clothed. He was sitting at his feet. And the Bible said he was in his right mind. Jesus bring him back to the reality. Jesus bring him back to his new life. And at this point, something what I can say is that moment Jesus Christ transformed his life from the nothing to the something. I don't know how many times each one of us can say, I'm in my right mind. All that is kind of in a human experience is hard. I have that experience with my kids and my wife sometimes. They look at me like when I say something, what I propose something, what I mention something about, we should be in the church, we should read the Bible, we should pray. They look at me like, are you right? Well, Jesus bring him to his right mind. And his right mind tell him, stay there, be close with Jesus. And then there's something else what happened when Jesus show up. After the town were total confused about what happening, most of the people were worried about the lost. And they were kind of scared. If Jesus is going to do that with the next town, we're going to lose more than 2,000 pigs. What that shows is people sometimes are more worried about what their position, their possessions, instead of the transforming lives. And that is still happening today. That is one of the most dangerous situations or more weird things when people said, I should change my life, but my work, my possessions, I should stay working. They prefer keep what they have it instead of what the Lord wants to give them. It's still a same condition in our days today. The people of that town ask Jesus, can you leave, please? Because your presence is costing us too much. And I know many people are still rejecting Jesus because that's not good for their business. They prefer to keep what they have it instead to have or receive what the Lord has for them. And this is the reason why I took this experience in a Christian life, transformation. Because transformation is a powerful. Why? Why you say that? Because what the Bible says, after Jesus respect the decision of the people in that town, the Bible says he was in the boat ready to leave. And the Gadareno, He came to him and asked him, Jesus, can I go with you? And Jesus told him, go back to your house, to your home, to your family, and tell them all the great things what the Lord did with you. And this surprised me. He obeyed. A transforming life, given the ability to obey. And I found out this detail reading some commentaries. In the Hebrew language, there is no word. We use two words to talk about hear and obey, right? It's the same in Spanish. Hear is kind of experience of acoustic, you know, what we hear. Obey is a reaction of our decision of our will, right? It's the same in Spanish. But in Hebrew, they don't use two words. They just use one. Because what they understand, and this is a spiritual truth, when you hear God's word, immediately you're available. You have the opportunity to obey. The Bible talks about that. We need to, if we hear the word, let's practice the word. Let's obey right away. But when we separate what we hear with our decision to obey, we're in trouble. We should practice in the same way as the Gadareno. He heard what Jesus said. Go back to your house. Go back to your family. Go back to your friends and tell them what happened with you. What the Lord did with you. He heard that and immediately he obeyed. He didn't argue with him. Probably it wasn't me, the Gadareno. Probably I would ask him, Lord, I'll be better with you. I can help you. I can be a testimony wherever you're going. But the Bible says, he said, yes, I will go. And this is the end of the sermon. The power of the transformation. As Christians, we believe in the transformation. We understand our transformation is coming from our new nature. Because Jesus is in us. We have a God's life in us to transform in us in a Jesus image. Well, this is what has surprised me a lot and made me think a lot. When I read the Bible, I ask some questions. And some of those questions doesn't have an answer. Like, how much cost two pigs to be grounded? A lot. What was the name of the Gadareno? I don't know. But then I keep thinking, and then I stop at that moment when this man, the Gadareno, hear and obey. He start telling the people. I can't imagine that moment. That man in front of somebody and say, how you doing? Remember, the people were scared about him. Not just because he was naked, because he was dangerous, was strong, was alone people. Sometimes I'm scared about the alone people. Imagine that moment when the people start asking him, is that you? Is that really you? You were the one crazy at night? You were the one who were running naked? And the answer was, yes, it was me. You know, what an easy way to present the message. I'm here. I'm transformed. I'm dressed. I'm in my right mind. I have peace in my heart. And I'm here to tell you, I was lost. I was blind. I was sick. I was alone, but now I'm a new person. I'm transformed. And the Bible says the people were surprised. And I'm pretty sure that is what that means is they start believing in Jesus Christ because they're seeing the life transformation. And now, each one of us, We have our own story of transformation. I was a musician, and I was asking God, why you took me from there? What you bring me here to the church? What you want to do with me? And God started telling you, go outside. Start playing the guitar. Start singing. And he shows me his purpose. You have your own story of transformation. No matter what size of story. Probably not the same like the Gadareno. But definitely, anyone who experienced the transformation is a powerful tool to share with somebody else. Your story is powerful. Your story is important. And this is the most amazing thing. I'm glad the Lord didn't ask him, the Gadareno, go share with them the theology of the Old Testament. He didn't ask him that. He didn't tell him, go learn all the spiritual, spiritual laws, or the four basic laws of evangelism. Jesus just tell him, go and tell him what the Lord did with you. Your story of sickness is a story of transformation. Your story of loneliness is a story of transformation. No matter from where the Lord brings you, that is your story. At some point in my life, like I mentioned, I like to ask questions of the Bible. What happened here? And then I stop a little bit in Paul's life when Jesus confronted him. And in that moment, he understood was the Lord. But at the same time, the Lord told him, you're going to use this moment, this experience of transformation to preach the gospel everywhere. Brothers and sisters, we are the message of transformation. AFC is doing transformation for our community, in our neighborhood. But now, transformation is coming to their hearts using your life. Amen. I want to pray. Mary, you can help us. I want to pray with you because probably your story of transformation, you're keeping in hide. Because sometimes our stories are not... Looks like I don't want to talk about what happened to me. I'm a pastor's son. My dad is in emergency room 2 days ago. And all my brothers who were praying for him. He's in a COVID hospital. And I was asking, why? Not because I was mad. I was asking God, what do you want to show us? He's your servant. He's sick. He's in danger. But he's still trusting in his Lord. And I found out the message what God wants to give us is to all my brothers. He's calling us through these circumstances. And if I said I'm a pastor's son, it's because many times I deny it. I refuse it. I ran away. But there was the Lord. Look at me, wherever I went. I see you. I can see you. I know where you are. I know what you're doing. Because I was running away. Because I was not sure about my faith. I was fighting with things what I experienced as a pastor's son. I was hurt from the church. But then that day when the Lord catch me and trap me with love and ask me a pretty simple question. What are you doing here? That was his question. Here, what are you doing here? And that changed everything in that moment. That was the moment where the Lord touched me and started my transformation. Because when I was in that place, I was playing drums. I was playing in a celebration, a wedding. I was playing a cha-cha-cha. I was pretty happy. But then his voice right here tells me, what are you doing here? And then after that, all that celebration was empty for me. It's when the transformation started. And then I recognized there's no better place where I can be is to choose to obey him and follow him, whatever he wants. Maybe in some experience in your life, you're running away. You have a story, but you're running away. You don't want to talk about your experience. But I can tell you, your story of transformation is powerful. It's powerful. Sometimes you don't have to say anything about theology, about doctrines. Sometimes you just say, can I pray for you? I know how you feel. I know how you're feeling, your heart and your mind. Can I pray for you? Because your story of transformation is powerful. And we are that resources from the Lord to share the gospel like the Gadareno. Go tell him. Go tell him. Don't stop. Go tell him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed. There's no better life. Our transformed life is the best. And we recognize, Lord, probably we're quiet in our stories. We're keeping just for us. But you told that Gadareno, go tell the story. Go talk with the people. Go to your family. And we recognize probably our story is there. And I pray, Lord, to encourage us by your Spirit. Give us the strength. Give us the courage to tell our story to somebody during this week, to share our story with family, to share our story with friends, because you did it. This is not experience because we changed our own behavior. This is our experience because you changed our heart. You changed our minds. You transform us, Lord. And I pray for your church, and I pray for my brothers and sisters, and I pray for AFC, Lord, for this message of transformation. You, Lord, can transform anything, anybody. We want to be ready to do that. Thank you, Lord. I ask, Lord, to bless and protect each family when we're traveling back our homes during this week, Lord. Protect us, bless us, give us strength, Lord. Bless your church, use your church, Lord. Bless Pastor Joe and Ashley and family. Bless our families, whatever they are today. My brothers, my sisters, my friends in Mexico, We bless them, Jesus, in your name. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, to be patient with me. This night at 4 o'clock, I'm gonna preach in English, in Spanish, if you want to hear the whole version of the sermon. But God bless you. Take care. Protect yourself. Protect your family. And share your story. Share your story. Don't be quiet.